Getting
is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Good Friday evening, everybody, boys and girls, to the SC family. Thank you for joining us for another Friday Night Live. This is the place where we hang out together, shoot the breeze. And it doesn't even matter if you are out there clubbing or if you're home alone, we will keep you company. As clearly you can see from one of our hosts, she's outside, God knows where, we'll figure out soon enough. Also, Kara, one of our moderators, is right now at Emerald Hill. And C. Joe, he was trying to go to the toilet 5 minutes ago. You have not gone yet, bro. You can bring us there with you. Okay, just say a big shout out to all the regulars who are here with us. Any one of you who are new and you're shy, don't be. Just leave us a comment, say it's my first time here, and we will give you a shout out and greetings. To all the regulars here, you know the drill, like and share and have fun, just comment. Today we will be having our very special guest, and Elvin DeCruz, the smooth operator, has managed to fix our guest issue. So we should hopefully see Jim Cole, the legendary Jim Cole, coming online with us to tell you his story for 20 minutes. Never heard before, not online. And he's very humble. So looking forward to that one. Wow. We have two confessions, Know Your Hunt too. And before we get to all that, I want to say, I would like to introduce the host to you. But also want to say a big thank you to the moderators who have been working tirelessly behind the scenes. We have Janan, we have Kara, we have Ivan, we have Lynn, and also now we have Ellen, who has joined us as moderator for our Discord group, because you guys have been asking us for a official channel where you guys can go there and talk, basically put your memes, put whatever you want to put. If you're not yet on Discord, try Discord. It's quite fun. I'm figuring things out as we go along. And the memes are hilarious. You guys have also asked for us to come online and be present in Discord. So I'm now looking at all my four hosts on one screen. I have another one on Facebook. I have on YouTube. I have Discord and WhatsApp open. So if you see me looking off screen and looking quite frantic, that's because I'm trying to reply to all of you. Okay? but enough about me. Let's go to our host. They've been with us for about a year plus already. Very regular, and I think we're beginning to enjoy the dynamics. So without further ado, let us introduce the man, the voice of our Supernatural Confessions podcast, out every Monday and Wednesday. His name is Kimmy Boy.
Hi, okay, but Joe, did you just hear Eugene say he only now he begin to like our dynamic? I thought he liked the
dynamic in the beginning.
He now yeah. He enjoy it. Okay, la,
Right? He says, "Oh, welcome to the these kind of people." He even say that we're the host. He even recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, bro.
Hi to SC family. It's good to have you guys back here again for the regulars and also the newcomers. And also, if you guys okay with it, please do like and share. And again, tonight we have Joe's Housekeeping, we have Confessions, Know Your Hantu, and also the special guest, as Eugene mentioned. So hopefully it's going to be all good. So stick around, don't go anywhere.
Right. And the super rational Sonia, we go straight to the botak there lah. Apex Predator from Down Under.
It's hard for me to go after Kim lah.
Why?
Because he says all these things. Oh, welcome everyone, like and click and share, and then comes to me. I'm like, hi. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone had a good day.
Yeah. Shout out to Australian viewership. You can say
that. Right. Joseph Dakota, take it away, bro.
Hi, everyone. My name is Joe. I have nothing good to say except I'm very happy to be here today. I'm joining you all. I'm happy to see Kim. I'm happy to see Sonia. No, I'm not really happy to see Sonia because I can't see Sonia. God knows where she's gone to. No, but I think we've got a lot of projects planned for the end of the year. So actually, I'm quite excited, I want to say. And like you, I've got so many screens open. Can someone please explain what the F Discord is? Because Discord, I know, people use it to chat and play games, right? Like online games. Mm. What is Discord?
When two people don't get along, then you try to sew Discord.
That's why I have a job.
I wonder why you have an app called Discord when you try to put a community together.
Maybe it's this chord, like a chord.
Or like the same vibe or same melody, same key.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it looks like Sonia is out of commission for time being. Well, we'll get on with the rest of the story first. We have some on supernaturalconfessions.com. Okay, so again, if you're new here and you want to find out how to get to us, we are on supernaturalconfessions.com. You can find us on Facebook, Facebook page, Facebook group. We are on YouTube. And now we're also on Discord. We don't have Instagram and Twitter just yet. We have the account, but no one's managing it. So if you want to step up and be our community manager for Instagram or Twitter, let us know. Reach out to us. My number is 9459-4931. It's gone around so much, you'll probably find it scrolled on the back of toilet doors as well. And on Supernatural Confessions Facebook group, Elaine Yeo have asked all of us, the hosts, to comment on something about tattoos. And in this episode of Joe Deserve Dakota Housekeeping, we're going to cover that particular stuff.
But I think we can let Sonia say hi first. Now she's on online. I hope we can hear her.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. I'm still in Singapore. How's that? I'm not somewhere around the world.
Don't believe you.
Can drop you guys a pin. Hey, everyone. Nice to see all of you. It's TGIF. I'm so happy it's Friday.
Why? That hectic week.
Yeah, why?
It's been a crazy week. Friday, I'm out with my girlfriends, the people that I hike with, celebrating a birthday for one of the girls.
Mm.
So that's the reason.
Happy birthday, one of the girls.
Sharon. Happy birthday, one of the girls. Oh, Sharon. Shout out to Sharon.
Sharon's birthday. I was talking to the owner of the place. Apparently, it's really lucrative to be in alcohol. He's got 8 outlets.
I thought she's going to say, wait, I just talked to the owner. Owner said this place haunted also.
Yeah, I was thinking she was going for that.
I want to talk to you about, we were exchanging horror stories because, talking to a few people around, and when I said I'll have to leave later to come do the show, they were curious about the show. I told them about the show and they had some of their own horror stories. But
nice.
Looking at them, I think it's while they were drunk. So I'm going to discount their stories.
Yeah, someone roofied my drink. That's a horror story in itself, right? Like, you know, it may not be supernatural.
Yeah. Someone roofied your drink. Is that a horror story to you or that person?
Did I tell you the time when I was almost picked up by 2 Russian ballerinas?
Wow.
I reckon if my wife and my friends weren't there, I would have been roofied.
Yeah. I mean, you're so desirable, man. Thankfully.
Demonstrate. I mean, you've seen me in life to life, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So TGIF, and then of course also because we're doing the show, you know.
And the person working behind the screen, his name is Elvin De Cruz. Elvin, I need you to put JDC's video behind Sonia because it's bleeding into Sonia's box.
Bleeding into Sonia's box.
Licking into. There we go. And Elvin De Cruz is our smooth operator. He's been with the show for God knows how long. 2 years since sometime back.
Is it 1.5 or 2 years? Can't remember.
It's good. It's good that you don't feel it's that long. That's a good sign. That.
Who cares?
You're not working him hard enough.
That FYI, I'm still not getting paid.
None of us are.
I already sent Eugene my receipts.
Speaking of getting paid, well, we don't exactly pay us. But we do try to at least pay our host in coffee. Speaking of which, JDC. Tell us more about this coffee thing.
Oh, sorry.
We need to buy the host.
I swear he forgot the URL.
Yeah, you know, guys, right? If you really want to kind of help us out, like I sore throat, If you'd like to support us and buy the host of coffee, please go to buymeacoffee.com, SC Friday Live. Any donation is kind of really appreciated. But of course, the biggest donation that you guys have given us is your time and your kind of effort coming here every Friday night. So we really appreciate that. But we also appreciate the donations. It is not compulsory. We will still continue to give you great content. We will still continue to kind of be here on a Friday night live. But the kitty, the coffee kitty, will give us more opportunity and capacity to do more things. And I'm none of us are saying anything much, but there are more things to come. So
yes. Oh, yes.
Oh God, I'm so excited to tell you guys, but I don't do. I got to just keep it down low until it happens. They will tell you.
That's right.
Okay, the time is now. It's 10:10. JDC, what do you have for us on tattoo?
Tattoo. Now, this was a post that was commented on by, and actually posted by and commented on by Elaine Yeo. Okay. So she tells a story of coming home, I think from curricular activities in school at night. And then as she's approaching home, right, everything's dark in there. There's no lights, but she can hear growling. She can hear these kind of sounds like a wild beast coming from inside her home. And so when she goes in, she sees her uncle on the floor moving around like an animal, right? Like a beast. And there's like, I think it's like right out a Mr. Vampire movie, right? Where there's Taoist priests, they're throwing the money everywhere. No, she didn't say throwing money, but that's what I'm imagining, right? They're throwing money everywhere. There's bells ringing and it's got the sword. And they're trying to exorcise her uncle. Now, they eventually managed to kind of do the job for the night. But what happened was the uncle got worse and worse after that and passed away. Oh. Now, what she came to find out was that the uncle had the tattoo of a tiger carved on his back together with mantras and chant words on it. And her theory and the theory of the family was that this tattoo was too strong for the uncle. And that is the reason why it kind of like, you know, ate his life and took his life. And you know, the people were commenting about the Sakyan tattoos from Thailand, right? Where it's not so much a Buddhist practice, but an animist practice that has merged with local with the imported Theravadan Buddhism, right? Where what they call the yant comes from the Sanskrit yantra, which means like a pictorial form of energy, right? And it's kind of written on the back, and you know, Buddhist monks are the ones that kind of hand tattoo it onto the back and repeat mantras and chant in order to suffuse the tattoo with energy. So that, you know, if you're a Muay Thai fighter, right, it means that someone kicks you, their leg hurts, nothing happens to you. Or bullets or bullets are fired at you, nothing happens. So people were talking a lot about it. And I was just kind of really curious about what the hosts think about tattooing and the spiritual side of tattooing.
Well, I know Kim and Joe, you guys have lots of tattoo on you. So I thought this was very relevant for you guys to answer. I know both of you have tribal tattoos. Wouldn't that also be something spiritual, or is that just purely for aesthetic purpose?
Is it for protection, right? Especially the placement of it is very important. That much I know.
You should know by now, apex predator needs no protection. Okay? So that I'm gonna lay that rumor down to rest.
Except when I have to save you in the swimming pool, is it?
I slipped on a leaf on the very slippy algae, right? And that's what happened. It is not you didn't save me, you helped me.
Only because he allowed you to.
Thank you. Thank you very much. No, there's a cultural aspect to the tattoos that I've got. The tribal tattoos that I have are, you know, what the Dayaks call the Bunga Terong on my chest, and a tribal tattoo on my right hand, on my right arm, and another one on my left arm. They're just purely as a nod to my Dayak origins. There is no protective / magical or spiritual aspects to any of the tattoos that I've got. It just symbolizes something for me, that's all.
Adrian Lowe is asking, what about Maori tattoos? They are known to be very powerful.
Yeah, they're very tribal in the sense of like different tribes have different designs. Mm. There's spirituality associated with it, but I don't think to the point where it's it's protective in the sense of like, you know, if someone got a knife and they slash you, nothing's going to happen to you. I don't think it was originally done for that. I might be wrong. I've got Maori friends, so I can ask.
Okay.
I always thought it was more of a identification type thing, you know, like I belong.
I think so.
Yeah. That's what I understood. What about you, Kim?
Okay. I'm Chinese that lives in Sarawak, right? So I don't belong to any tribe, but I have a lot of, not a lot, I have the similar tattoo as Joe, whereby we put, actually that is a bunga terong. So I can tell you a little bit about the bunga terong. So bunga terong for the Iban community is actually when it kind of signify from a boy becoming a man. But for us to put this tattoo, I mean, for the Iban boys to put this tattoo on their shoulder or their chest, it's actually you have to earn it, where you actually have to, your father will kick you out of the house, right? Then you have to travel in the jungle for a couple of months. If you don't die because of sickness, you don't die because the wild boar killed you, you didn't die because the enemy chased you around, and then you come back to your longhouse and you are alive, then your father say, okay, now you are a man. So your father will put the bunga terong on you. So if you go out and then you die, then obviously you don't get a bunga terong.
ladies of SC, ladies of Supernatural Confessions, I want you to know that we have very manly men on the Friday Night Live host. Check it out. He got kicked out. He survived the wild boar. He survived the wilderness. He went out there in the world and came back. And his father tattooed the bunga terong on him. Check out how man this guy is.
Okay. That is not what happened to me and Joe. La. So obviously we didn't go out to the jungle and fight.
He didn't go out to the jungle. He went to the sea to fought a shark. He punched a shark in the eye. He survived the shark attack. He came back. And the father put the bunga terong here.
No, I survived the jungle of the heart.
Oh, okay, but for shark, I have to say, it's the snout. You hit the snout, not the eye.
La. I didn't. I just paid a tattoo artist to put it on me. That's all. I don't know what you guys are talking about. But when I got my bunga terong, was actually kind of like I no more longer live on my parents' pocket money. They don't give me my pocket money anymore. So like, okay, now you go out and work and do whatever shit you want with your money, right? So I'm like, hey, I got my money, so put a bunga terong on
me. Isn't it like an initiation type thing? Like, I'm finally grown up, I'm old enough to get a tattoo, therefore, you know, I am an adult. I am no longer a boy, a child.
Yes, yeah, pretty much that. But but then again, let me slightly go further with bunga terong. But today, bunga terong, there is actually a lot of shape and the looks of it is already different. It's already modernized, right? There's a lot of people who put bunga terong just for the sake of it looks cool on their shoulder, and you know, it doesn't signify what it used to be. So if you look at the older generations bunga terong, they are usually quite big, and but the center part of the bunga terong is what actually important to them. It's because that is actually the life, the circle of life that they signify in that bunga terong. So yeah, I have another piece whereby it's on my leg, but it's supposed to be on your back. So that is usually the Iban warriors will put it on their back for protection. And whenever they do that tattoo, back in the older days, they will usually have chant to actually, like what Joe said, you know,
with a sakyan type.
Is it like an infusion, right?
Infusion, yeah. Putting power to it, So yeah, that piece of tattoo that I have, it's called Belakang Ketam, which is the back of a crab.
But you have another one that's very interesting. The one that actually would lead very nicely into a joke.
I love mom. Oh. Is it? Is that one?
No.
It's the Hello Kitty in his backside that Nicole's Foy suggesting.
I do not know how do you guys get the idea of having Hello Kitty on my backside, but no, I don't.
Hey, why does your show and tell? You talk about tattoos on your t-shirt show, on. What's this? Take it off.
Cut it off. Cool, bro. Cool.
Take it off.
Can I recall? It's a joke, bro. Look, I've heard another aspect of the Bunga Terong as well, right? And so I was also told that the Bunga Terong, this eggplant flower, is usually the first tattoo that is placed onto the body. And that they do it so that it can feed the other animal tattoos that are placed on the body. And that if you don't have that, if you have animal motives, especially if you spiritually kind of like infuse them, there's nothing for the animals to eat, and then they'll eat you, which has a very nice parallel with the story that we've kind of heard from Elenio, right? Yeah. Where the tattoo has consumed the life essence of the individual. I don't know how true that is, but you know, this is just kind of myths and legends of different tribes in different areas. I mean, Kim will know a lot more about this.
I thought something similar as well, and this is actually from, I believe it's from my grandma. Now that you're mentioning it, talked about it, I remember, because back in the 90s and the 80s, gangs were prolific in Singapore, at least. And on gang tattoos, you have tiger, you have scorpion, you have dragon. It was said that not everyone can tattoo these three creatures. Like, you can tattoo anything else you want, but the tiger, the dragon, and the scorpion, they have certain symbolical meaning to it. So if you do some things in the gang, like take lives, or you have bled, you have showed how aggressive you are, how warrior-like you are, then you're allowed to put the tiger. And then, even then, at certain place, and you got to continue feeding that tiger because the aggression will be there. Again, this is like what we say is law and all that. But the old folks really believe in the kind of tattoos you have, because it's going to be hot or not. And this also includes name. Sometimes your name can be too hot for you. And that's why in Chinese, the characters, number of characters matter. The sound of your name matter. So in Asia, at least, tattoos, names, sound, numbers all mean something, and they could claim your life if it clashes with your parts, so to speak.
Like if it's overpowering, you know, if it's too strong a name or too strong of an energy, then it feeds off you. Now, I can't read the comments on either platform because I'm using my handphone to stream. I'd like to ask the audience, if I were to get a tattoo, what do you think would be a suitable one for me?
Oh, nice.
It'll be nice to get a world map somewhere, right? That every time after you visited the country, then you color it black on your body. Then nice, right?
Yeah.
Then not.
Then it'll be very black. Or, mine.
Or whenever when you have a, depending on how big is your world map, like, if your world map is just a
butt cheek. I thought you were gonna say something. How big is your butt cheek? Hey, don't say things like that. It's not good.
Okay, so no, where should I put it, and what should I tattoo?
The world is round, right? So if you have on, you know, on both butt cheeks, it would be quite to form, right?
So it'd be very 3D.
Yeah, very 3D.
Again, I don't want to repeat this joke, but the earlier days, I remember this joke. What happens when gravity takes in?
And then they're like, hey, wanna
look for Malaysia? Huh? Wait.
Yeah. You know, last time also the world is Pangaea, right? Then the plates move, right? Standard lah. You just call it the plate, tectonic plate moving lah.
Ah, okay lah.
Yeah. Then when Sonia earthquake lah.
Yeah.
What?
When you walk, the thing move earthquake, right? Wow.
Okay, so I've heard map, and then what else?
Someone said Supernatural Confessions logo.
What's the logo?
Yeah. Someone says a crane on the shoulders.
Crane. Why a crane?
Oh my god. How about all the horse from Supernatural Confessions?
No.
All our faces.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How about the set about Dracula pick? No.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I'll have to decline.
I like this one. The clerk says, buy me coffee. Maybe we can put a QR code lah. I'm gonna put a QR code on my butt lah. Then people can scan and buy us coffee.
To transfer money over, right?
QR code. Yeah.
I don't drink coffee. I drink
latte. What soy latte?
Chai latte.
Okay. Before we go too far, I want to go back to the story, right? So maybe I want to say for Elaine, the uncle story again, maybe I felt that could it be not the tiger, but the whatever writing, it's on the side of the tiger. Mm. I felt that because I have a lot of friends with tiger tattoo also. I mean, although they are not in triads or whatever, but they seem fine. I mean, after all, it's an art form, right? And
do you realize that now the latest fad is using white ink instead of the traditional darker colored inks? Now they're using white ink.
There is also glow in the dark ink.
Yeah, glow in the dark ones as well. Yeah.
And then I've even seen when they inject that into their eyes.
Yeah.
That's really creepy.
Well, people do whatever they to look pretty, right?
Their body, their choice.
Yeah, their body, their choice.
Especially if they decide to wear red dresses.
I mean,
there's one suggestion from Eric Tan. Before we move on, I thought this one is. Eric Tan says lotus, and I think lotus is a very cool symbolism because it grows in the harshest of environment and terrain, and that pretty much speaks of. I speak for all the hosts here. We've gone through some really, the level of resilience that we show, the kind of tenacity we have. I think a lotus is a good idea because we grew up from anything that is given to us.
Sonia,
I've got
the rest of us.
I thought it's all of us. Then I mean, Sonia's guaranteed. She deserves it. But then all the, you know, never go out to the world.
Yeah, I got lotus too. I only got lotus on my leg also.
He got lotus.
He got lotus. Oh, okay, yeah, I got lotus on my arm. He got lotus in the leg. And the whole idea is that the lotus is the symbolism for spirituality.
Yes.
That even though the roots of the lotus are in the mud, its essential nature floats on top of the water.
Correct.
And remains untouched by the mud.
Okay. Yeah. But see where you want to put it, so...
Yeah. I'd like something on my inner thigh or something that's not so obvious.
Hmm. I want a black lotus.
Okay. But okay, an advice to whoever that wanted to get a tattoo, but... do not know what kind of tattoo that you want to put on your body, right?
Yeah, where do we go for advice?
It's actually quite simple, whereby when you want to put a tattoo on any part of your body, right? Just imagine yourself when you are already 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. If a young kid come and ask you about that tattoo, as long as you have a nice story to back up with it, then it's okay. Imagine if you put Pokemon, 80 years old, then your young kid come and ask you, Popo, what is this? Then what are you going to say?
Pokemon.
La.
Then they are,
it no longer looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah. It looks like a Pokemon.
Seriously. Now, if people want to get a tattoo, should they go to someone for a consultation, like in terms of the symbolism of it?
Yeah,
tattoo artist. Come to SC for that, lah.
SC. But let's say, for instance, I want to get a big tiger for my back. Do I need to go to a spiritual master and ask him, is this going to be too powerful or too heavy for
no, my bike? Just go and get to a tattoo artist. They put it on. The whole idea of having the, especially with the story, was that there were mantras and there were chants infusing the tattoo with spiritual energy, which is the reason why he couldn't hold it.
Okay. If you want to get a tiger tattoo and you are too scared, may I suggest getting tiger tattoo from Winnie the Pooh?
Ah,
it's still a tiger, but not so fierce. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the time now is 10:30. I'm turning the reins over to Kimmy Boy. Kimmy Boy, Kuching Kimmy Boy. That's KKB short form.
Joke.
KKB stands for something else. Okay. We're gonna have a confession. Know Your Hunter and also the special guest. So we have to rush everything because the special guest for tonight is someone that is very, very important. We have never seen his face. We have only read his comments. We want to
like
hear.
Batman.
Yeah, he's like that man, right? We want to hear his voice tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to the confession, I always owe you guys a joke, right? I try not to do so dirty this week. I try lah. See how's the feedback is like. Okay, do you guys know why Mushroom always likes to party?
Because he is a fun guy.
Yeah! Oh, nice lah. Nice. Okay lah. Not fun, is it? No, not good enough, is it?
One more.
Okay, then have to go, then still have to go dirty lah. if a woman sleeps around with 10 men, she's a slut. If a man does the same, he's gay lah. He's definitely gay. Okay, so the first confession for tonight, instead of the story...
I thought you were going to say he's going to be looked at and looked upon as a god.
No lah, I sleep around with 10 men, it's gay.
That's like, not a, it's a joke, Sonia. It's not social commentary.
Oh, she tried to super rationalize a joke.
Okay. Okay, so I want to say just now our confession, for first confession for tonight, it's not going to be extremely creepy, but you got to put a little bit of thinking about it if you were in that person's shoes. One. Two, not happening in Singapore. A place whereby a lot of Malaysian and Singaporean love to go. So, ladies and gentlemen, first confession. We're going to go to Taipei, Taiwan. Elvin, take it away.
The Grand 101 by the Mohawk. Have you heard about the hotel? Asked my then girlfriend when I mentioned that I was going to stay at the Grand Hyatt in Taipei City, Taiwan. The business trip was scheduled for 3 days. And two nights, and I was excited as I knew such business trips would always be fun. She told me not to do any online searches with respect to the reputation of the hotel. I initially shunned her, as it was a five-star hotel and next to the iconic Taipei 101. However, the look and tone she delivered that warning triggered something in me, and I decided to heed her advice. The trip was uneventful. In fact, when we were having supper at the McDonald's at the then budget terminal, I boasted that the view from a hotel room looked at the Taipei 101. She looked up, rolled her eyes, and asked if I did any research about the hotel, to which I replied that I had not. She nodded to my phone that was on a table, and so I picked it up and did a quick search on the reputation of the hotel. I did not have any weird experiences at the hotel. In fact, when I checked out and was asked how my stay was, I gave the front reception staff the two thumbs up, saying that all was perfect. I did, however, have rowdy neighbors on both nights. I am a light sleeper and woke up multiple times during the night, thinking it was drunk businessmen wanting to continue their fun into the wee hours of the morning. I did not bother getting out of bed to shush them or even to call the front desk to handle them. There were two large side lamps on either side of the king-size bed, and on the first night I woke up to the extremely bright and raging heat of the lamps. I found that bizarre as I was a fairly seasoned traveler and I would only leave the bathroom light on while I slept. Rolling over to my left, then my right, I turned the lamps off and returned to snooze land. Keying in Grand Hyatt Taipei Haunted on my phone at the McDonald's returned results that stated that the hotel was the most haunted hotel in Taipei, and the ground that the hotel was built on was a prisoner of war camp where political prisoners were executed. There were more stories about weird experiences that other guests had to go through. Goosebumps then started to pop up on my arms. Could it be that the rowdy guests were not drunk businessmen, and the lights were automatically turned on, or turned on by someone, something? Somehow, I guess I will never know.
Okay.
Most haunted hotel in Taipei.
Most haunted hotel in Taipei.
And he named it.
Okay, I do not know how many have stayed there. Obviously not me, so most likely never gonna stay there. Okay, I think this is somehow an easier explanation for the rational team. So the team hunter is gonna go first this time. So
getting first.
Eugene, go first, Eugene.
Walao, going first is not always the best, you know, because then I'm feeding all these two of them, all this ammunition to go to and shoot me down. Okay, I'm gonna give it a try.
Mm.
We have a hotel with a reputation. Okay. Mm. And he heard noises outside and his light turned on by itself. So these are very subtle. I won't even call it haunting, but there's haunting where a spirit disturbs you openly. There's also the wandering spirit where they come by and they just move around. And also we have the playful spirit. They just want to show you that they are there. And usually that's when they turn on and off the lights, they turn on and off the TV, or they knock on the door. In this case, I would imagine that the kind of spirit that narrator Mohawk was experiencing is a playful hotel spirit that just wants to make its presence known. And clearly, Mohawk here is not someone who is very familiar with the supernatural, the superstitions, the pantangness of it all. Because if there was any SC member, Supernatural Confessions member, even a creak in the night would set us off thinking it might be the hantu. But when you are not in the frame of mind where you're not superstition, you go to a hotel not living in hantu, most times you won't even register these hauntings as hauntings. And that could actually be a blessing. I think being ignorant or naive of the supernatural world really defend you against fear. And when you are not afraid, the spirits cannot harm you any further than what they're already doing. So in this case, Mohawk got away easy. But I believe because whatever that he has experienced is also something that other people have reported before. And it was before he even read the comments. So I would imagine if he read the comments, I'm jumping the gun here because I know what Sonia and GDC is going to say. If he had read the comments before, yeah, sure, suggestions, his mind is over, his imagination is running wild. But in this case, he heard all these noises. He woke up. Oh, is my light on when it's off? To me, that tells me his experience is genuine. It sort of validates the other experiences that other people have encountered as well. A dangerous hantu.
Okay, so you're going to go with it is a hantu, but at least it's not a dangerous one. It's a playful one.
Yes.
Okay. So for me, why do I actually pick up and I'm going to go with this story? Although knowing that Sonia and JDC is going to say, it's definitely another drunk businessman lah. You know, then the light switch is technical issue lah, wiring issue lah. Some hotel have been standing there for too long already, my guy. Okay, because why do I pick this? It's because tonight, 11:30 confession, it's a lady that I interviewed where she can see stuff, right? But for her, it's just another day in her life if she happened to see something, right? But in tonight's confession, she's going to tell us where that thing actually gets physical. But right after I interviewed her, not long after that, she actually gave me a call and say, I need to meet you tonight. I haven't had a lot of sleep last night. I need to meet you tonight at a coffee shop. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me last night. I'm like, fuck, what happened? She's like, sit down with me for a coffee, then I'll tell you what happened. I'm like, okay, Ken, let's go. So went out, did not bring my equipment and whatnot, and then I just have my phone. Then after that, she started telling me stories that because she went for a training in a resort, which is about 45 minutes away from Kuching town, right? So what happened to her is she's been placed in a room that a lot of people know it's haunted. But she thought, okay, you know what? Maybe it's nothing's going to happen. But that night, not only curtains move, not only something pop up in the bathroom, she actually see two little kids in her bedroom. Okay, so for that, right? I'm going to sit down with her again to get more information. But tonight's story, 11:30, you got to catch it later on because I promise you it's a good confession. And so I'm going to go with, I do believe if everybody said that place is haunted, most likely it is. Everybody have experience, right? Although it's different thing. But good thing for Mohawk is because at least that thing don't jump in front of you, pull your curtain, drag you out of the bed and, you know, put you outside the corridor and whatnot. At least it's just making noises next door and switching off your light. So I think it's still okay. It's still something that we can be thankful of. JDC and Sonia.
Well, you were right about, you know, the power of suggestion. If you've already read reviews and stories about a place, you have a preset notion what to expect and so on and so forth. But, you know, in this case, he said it was only later on that he found out. Now, the light switching on by itself is very easy to explain, so to speak, because, you know, electrical faults, you said that as well, Kim. In fact, both Kim and Eugene pretty much did our segment for us, JDC. They
Yeah, I know. I know.
Instead of just giving theirs, they gave ours as well.
Yeah. You know, this is the
because we can hear your voices in our head.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I don't know lah. These people come here, ask me to do rational explanation, do my segment for me, do my job for me. Go home lah, go home.
Hey, I thought you were already at home.
Huh?
I thought you were already at home.
I would like to share that different people have different and varying degrees of sensitivity. Some people will pick up vibes. Some people will have their hair stand, you know, the hair in the back of your neck and all of that. Everyone's got a different sensitivity to these things. I was just speaking to a person earlier whose six-year-old niece realized that she can see. She has the third eye. She's only six. And she's asking her parents, why can I see that? Do you see that, mommy? Do you see that over there? And both parents can't see anything. Mm. But this child who's only six has realized that she has the sight. Now, what do you do with a six-year-old who's got the sight? Do you then teach them to not fear? Do you teach them to ignore? Or do you teach them to harness that gift? What would you do?
It's a good question, this one. So I have a six-year-old kid, so I could imagine if my kid had that eye. And this is something I have thought about before he came to the world. I was always thinking, what if he could see? How I'm going to deal with that? So I think the question came up, you know, you put forth a very good question. I would teach him to understand what he's facing rather than brushing it off or saying, ignore it. It's very hard to ignore when it's something you constantly see. So the earlier you can deal with it, the earlier you understand it, I think that would give you that natural defense, because through understanding it, you build your own natural defenses. You don't feel that fear. It becomes more of an intellectual thing where you can now piece it together and find meaning within yourself to explain what you see, rather than just going, no, lah, it's not there, it's not there. Ignore it, ignore it. How does ignoring it help? It doesn't if you have a third eye.
Yes, and it's not a case of ignorance is bliss in this case, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we are running out of time, so I think pretty much that's it for that confession. Mm. But I gotta read out one comment. This is by Ajith Sidhu. Asking the team, do they only haunt their own race or anyone? Real question. So I think I can take one for the team for this one, is whereby there is no race for them, actually. It's just that they will come out in the form that scare you the most, because they need to feed off your fear and they want that negativity from you, right? So whatever that scares you the most will be whatever, however they will turn out to be, lah. And then,
that means my credit card bill, lah.
Yeah, lah. Some of us are banker, lah. The banker agents, lah. But like JDC is Wanda. Wanda is the one that he is very afraid of.
I don't like Wanda. Wanda.
Wanda.
Wanda. Wanda.
What's Wanda?
Wanda. Wanda. Wanda.
Wanda.
Elizabeth Olsen. Lah, lama.
Elizabeth. I thought it was Wanda the goldfish.
No, not Wanda the goldfish. Jangan lah. Oh, before we go to next time, I got something very quick to say about that kind of story, right? You guys have actually summarized where I was going to go with this, so there's no point going over like old shit. But I will say that suggestion can also happen retrospectively. So you don't need to, before that event happened, read something and then go there and go, oh my God, I saw a ghost. It's very possible that he could have just had a normal experience or experienced what he's experienced, later on gone and read it, and then start attributing what would have just been very natural occurrences to the supernatural.
Ah.
It can happen in the back in a back to front way as well, right? But I spoke to Mark. Mark told me this story personally via video, so I have some understanding of what happened.
Mohawk, you mean
there? But Mohawk, yes. But I have some
I'm not too sure if I can say that this is paranormal. I think there are too many natural explanations in play here in the hotel for it to be supernatural for me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that as well. So sometimes when we do paranormal investigations, we need real concrete or more substantial evidence to truly declare that it's an unnatural phenomenon. At this stage right now, with this, we get away with, in fact, I would rather Mohawk goes, no lah, I don't think it is, because it helps you sleep better at night. You get what I mean?
Yeah, indeed. Okay, that is from hotel room that everybody knows it's haunted. Then you go there, most likely you're going to read comments, you're going to have already that power of suggestion taken over you, and then you're going to go in and definitely want to see one, because it's already manifest there, right? But abandoned places. What about abandoned places? Places that Sonia wandered into and dragged the whole team into as well. That includes me, right? So abandoned places whereby I would feel that these things would be like, you know, hey, no, nobody stay here. What? I can stay here. What? I can make this my home, right? Okay. So what about abandoned places? We're going to hear it in our next confession. This one is narrated by Brian, but it's also his own personal story. So he want us, or and also the rest of the viewers, what do you guys think? Listen to the story and comment after that. So ladies and gentlemen, here's the story. Elvin?
This happened to me in August 2019, before COVID struck. It was customary for me and my friend Benjamin to head down to Cold Bar every Friday night after work to enjoy the quaint rustic surroundings and this neighborhood. Cold Bar is located in Wessex Estate, Portsdown Road, and it's famed for its British Hainanese food and its imported British beer. So during one of these nights after dinner, in order to walk off the fats, Benjamin and I would walk down one of these lanes to explore the neighborhood. And being an avid fan of colonial architecture, I wanted to explore one of these houses which were used to house the British Army back when Singapore was a colony of Britain. One of these houses was undergoing renovation, so I took the opportunity to explore the interior of this house to have a sense of how big the house is and how the interior would look like. So Benjamin and I went into one of such houses because it was undergoing renovation. And I distinctly remember that the house was it smelled basically of rot and decay, because I think the house was uninhabited for some time. We could see some renovation works going on, but I believe they were stalled. And given that the place was pretty dark, I was the one who turned on my phone's torchlight and illuminated the surroundings. So after exploring almost every nook and cranny of the place, I wanted to go up to the second floor, but Benjamin stopped me and he said that, look, it's going to be like the same as the first floor, so there's not much changes. So on that particular night, after the visit, I experienced nothing. It was only on the second or third night onwards that I experienced strange happenings in my room. Now, I recalled that between 2 to 5 a.m., I will be woken up by noises or groans in my room. Sometimes it could alternate between a male and female voice, and it often went like this. It got really so bad that I woke up and just started shouting into the darkness, telling whoever or whatever it is to stop disturbing me in my sleep, because it really affected me on the following working day. And this carried on for so long until it got really worse that I asked my dad, who then consulted his friends, who knew a Chinese donkey, who then dropped by into my place and conducted cleansing rituals. In his opinion, he felt that there was an old man who was outside my door, my unit, loitering around the rubbish chute area, and he couldn't come in because my house was protected by Kuan Yin. We have a Kuan Yin statue at our altar. And I thought that this was the end of the scenario. Unfortunately, I was still plagued by the same ceaseless groans and noises that woke me up in the middle of the night, that woke me up between those unearthly hours, right? And it really has taken a toll on my concentration and focus at work. It got extreme to the point that I consulted Eugene Tay from Supernatural Confessions and asked him for advice or for anybody that can refer me to help resolve this issue once and for all. He referred me to Ajahn Jo, a Thai monk practitioner, and I visited his office and I had a consultation with him. And Ajahn Jo essentially told me that I may have offended a spirit who was lurking in the house, and because my energy was low, I may have attracted this particular being to frighten me and cause me to have such sleepless nights. And I underwent through a cleansing ritual, and after that, I felt a massive transformation. I kid you not, I felt that something heavy was lifted off my shoulders, and I felt happier and lighter. And upon reaching home, my dad, who saw me, even remarked that my eyes look brighter, that I feel that I look somewhat different than before. So essentially, right, Ajahn Jo's rituals practically helped to cleanse off whatever it is that disturbed me in my sleep. Now, the question that I have, right, is, number one, are these groans or noises that I heard in the middle of the night, in those hours, a result of my stress at work? Or is it because of my exploration of the house at Portsdown Road, which led to these disturbances being created?
I like this week's confession. It's all very much in the could it be, could it be not, you know? That's,
yeah.
It's in between zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Team JDC and Sonia, this one you can go first.
You know, as we were listening to it, Sonia, we were kind of talking about a little bit about it, right? About the power of suggestion. And maybe I'll get you to have a speak about that. What I want to comment about is that whenever there is anything associated with seeing, hearing, feeling thing, and falling or waking up from sleep is inherently problematic for me because of the ability for the human body to have this, what is called hypnopompic or hypnagogic hallucinations, right? When you are about to fall asleep, you are going into an altered state of consciousness, right? So there's always the possibility that you can see and hear things in that state. Now, is this what happened with this confessor? Possibly. After coming back from, you know, Bali and going to some of those really weird places, right? Eugene is right. This confession is something that kind of hangs around that unknown space. Yeah. You know, you could have a completely logical explanation for this, but then part of me goes, well, what if? Mm. What mm. if?
Mm. Like, are you willing to take the risk, right? Like, you know, oh, maybe you just try to rationalize it away, but there might be something else lingering that you want to take that risk of not seeking spiritual help.
Yeah, you know, and we do it all the time, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, I'm Catholic. You know, if I go somewhere and let's say I hear my name being called, or I hear a whistle from behind me.
Yeah.
You know, 99.9%, I would say that's probably a bird or someone else whistling behind me, right? Mm-hmm. But for that 0.1%,
yeah,
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen, I'll be saying a prayer to protect myself.
Yeah.
Right?
Why do you have to tempt fate?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Cover all your bases. Because it could have been natural, but what if it is not?
That 0.1%.
Yep.
Yes. You mentioned power of suggestion. Power of suggestion is it's a psychosomatic manifestation half the time, right? The brain is so powerful. We have not even fully uncovered its true power. But I know this person, and when he mentioned stress. Now, stress does the same thing. It's very much like the power of suggestion. When you're under certain stress conditions, your body goes through changes, even hormonal changes, and that could affect his sleep. It could affect the way he thinks. And these groans that he's hearing, could he be groaning inside every time he feels a stressful situation at work? And as you're going to sleep, you know how our mind can run through your day and where... Maybe he groaned 10 times at different points and he's just replaying his day. And what he's hearing is that memory as well. I mean, it could be something else. We always say, what is it that you say? There's more?
There are more questions than there are answers. There are always more questions.
Yeah.
I think the moment you go, I know what it is, 100%, that's when you stop learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what science is. Science is about asking questions. So, you know, if he's had these experiences, if that's what he truly believes, then that's his opinion. And we're not trying to discount that at the same time.
And you know what? Like, you know, I think people, even scientists and people of science need, especially scientists and people of mind, need to have an open mind. Because the things that even happen in quantum physics, right, defies rationality in one sense.
Exactly.
How can two particles exist you know, in two different spots at the same time? How can that happen? Right? That doesn't make logical sense.
I mean,
come up with a theory to try to explain it.
Think about it. Like nuclear physics, if it was discovered before it was discovered, would have seemed really supernatural.
So, I mean, science hasn't... That's what we believe on the website as well, as I put it. We believe in the hunt too. It's just that science haven't caught up with trying to explain a lot of things. Yeah. And I think I do agree with both of you. Like, you know, there's a lot of this entire confession, the last one and this one. If it happened to any one of us, I believe the first thought many of us will go through, even if we are 100% believers like myself, is could it be stress? Could it be something else? But I think a very important point that Brian raised here is he went to a spiritual practitioner, Ajahn Jo, who's featured very prominently on our channel. For those of you who are looking for Ajahn Jo, he no longer takes any calls because of Supernatural Confessions. He's been bombarded with calls so much, he says, I cannot handle anymore. So he has gone off the grid for over a year. He only takes in very, very selected cases. But in this case, because Sonia knows him, I know him, and many of the people who I introduced to Ajahn Jo knows him, he is known, he has a reputation of being a very straight up guy. He's not going to take your money if there is nothing to solve. Right? He doesn't need to do that. Yeah. But in this case, because he has also indicated there might be something following him, and because of the relationship I have with him, that the trust that's always already been built, I would then lean towards going, you know, if a spiritual master says he can see something behind you, I'm going to believe that. And we too, all of us have been to very dirty places and we feel lethargic. There might be attachment and not. Most times when I go for all these places, I don't really feel that the haunting per se, but there is the remnants. There is that sliver. I feel dirty. So I go for cleansing. And in this case, Brian, who is already very stressed in normal days, he realizes that when he got into this place, his level of stress took a different form. So I'm thinking, I'm leaning again towards that. Yeah, this is more than just a physiological thing. It's not just stress, it's spiritual.
Okay. Now I feel the stress of going as the last one, because you guys already talk about whatever that is already need to be mentioned, right? But okay, for me, I do feel that could it be Brian, because he's already very stressed with work, right? So you can actually, even as human, we can actually feel the negative vibes around him, you know, because if you are too stressed with work, with whatever, right? So I was thinking, could it be when he actually walked into that area, he is kind of like the magnet to all these negative vibes. Then like, hey, what? Shit, you know, look at that guy. That guy is full of negative energy. Let's see where he can bring us, lah. Probably, I'm going to try and see whether there is a better way to put this, but probably, or could it be there is something there that is actually trying to seek help? But if, let's say, somebody that is jolly or somebody that is brave and, you know, full of energy, like Sonia walks in, then they're like, fuck, I cannot follow Sonia home. We'll get annihilated, you know, so better don't. So, but if you see Brian, then like, hey, this guy, he's already very stressed out. He's already carry a lot of negative energy. Let's see where he can take us, and probably we can seek help from him, right?
Yeah.
Then after that, then they just follow. The groans that he heard in the middle of the night, could it be because these beings or these spirits are very negative? So could it be something that is really very wrong with their previous life? That's why, you know, that's how they can only be heard, you know, groaning or making noises that to show that they are very troubled.
So I
do not know what the spiritual,
it's like an animal whimpering, trying to get your attention, to tell you that it's hurting, so they come out and moan.
Yeah, because not all these beings were gonna tell you help me. No, right? So
yeah.
So probably it's just that. But I hope that, you know, now hopefully Brian feels better. And at the same time, if there is something that that's something that needed help, and I hope that got sorted out as well. Like Joe said before, treats everything, whether it's life, dead, with compassion.
Oh, hair standing, bro.
Okay. All right. So I think we have covered enough for the confession just now, lah. Okay. So before we show you our special guest that we all been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen, this week, Know Your Hantu, not so scary, because it's something quite nice actually to know about. So, ladies and gentlemen, this week of Know Your Hantu, we're gonna go to Thailand. We're gonna go to and talk about the mother of buying, or in Thailand, they are known as Mesu. Elvin, take it away.
This episode of Know Your Hantu, we are featuring Mesu, the guardian goddess of infants. Mesu is one of the benevolent guardian spirits in Thai culture. The name literally means mother of buying. When a little child is born, it is believed that Mesu comes and buys the baby in order to keep it safe from evil spirits. In certain parts of Thailand, it is also believed that the child is not fully human for the first 3 days. This period was under the supernatural control of Mesu, for babies never die during the first 3 days after birth. Babies born in different days would be visited by different appearance and character of Mesu. Sunday, Lady Vijit Mawan appeared red skin and the head of singer and a lion. Monday, Lady Wananongkran appeared ivory skin and horse head. Tuesday, Lady Yak Prisut appeared pink skin with a buffalo head. Wednesday, Lady Samothat appeared green skin with an elephant head. Thursday, Lady Kaloktuk appeared with pale yellow skin and a deer's head. Friday, Lady Yak Nong Yao appeared pale blue skin and a cow's head. And Saturday, babies would be visited by Lady Akalai, black skin with a tiger's head. So ladies and gentlemen, when you were born, who was your Mesu?
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, that is Mesu from Thailand. So you see, every single day, you have different Mesus going to come and buy your kids, right? So actually, there is a little bit more about this, lah, you know, because I already produced this, then I went on to read a little bit. So then I learned that actually what happened is, in some Thai beliefs that kids are not made by God, but they are made by ghosts. So this ghost, they will make a kid and then put it in their mother, right? Then after that, the kid will be born. After the kid is born, then after that, the kid usually born cute, right? Then this is when the ghost that sculpt the baby will see like, hey, them cute lah, now I want to have it back. So the ghost will try to take the baby away. This is when Mesu will come and step in and say, okay, now I will take care of your baby for these first 3 days so that this evil spirit won't be able to take them away. So that is
Mesu's... I only 3 days take lah, one whole month.
No, because after three... Okay, lah, that is mother speaking already. I'm trying to explain some more.
But remember, the number three is a very sacred number through a lot of cultures. A lot of spiritual cultures, a lot of, you know, like physical earth kind of cultures, right? The number three seems to be that magic point.
Then 3 months. Let's do 3 months.
For 3 months, uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know what to say to that. I can't say anything.
For Mesu's contact number, please dial 1-800-MAESUEE. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is confession done, housekeeping done, Know Your Hantu, it's also done. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I would like to introduce to you our guy who is in our page very actively, even more active than me, Eugene, Joe, and Sonia combined.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brother Jim Koh. Hello, Jim.
Hello, good evening. Thank you. Hey, okay. Finally.
How are you?
This time, no technical issues.
Yes, finally. Hey, good evening to your guys and girl. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I also have to give my gratitude to Pro Iman for suggesting this sort of a ballot thing, and then it got me through. So I'm very grateful to all the supporters.
Yeah. Iman came on before you.
Hey, what? It's a fiasco. really. So how's things, everybody?
Okay, we're great. Thank you very much for asking. So for those that is asking why we don't put up photos of Jim and whatnot, Jim want to remain anonymous. So he want to keep that part of him off. So we are more than grateful that he's willing to talk to us. So you can hear Jim's voice, not only read his commands and his posts, right? So now you can actually hear his voice. Okay, so Jim, why not tell us a little bit about whatever you can share about yourself, and then after that tell us about your story or your confession.
Okay. First and foremost, I'm a commenter, so I'm not a confessor. So whereby I'm in a scenario, let's put it this way, a confessor is like a guy on the road with a vehicle. There is an accident. So he reports to the moderator. The moderator will assess, and they are the control call centers. So the moderator will feedback to you guys as a sort of the host behind, the organizer. And then it's thrown up to the floor. So we being commenters, we are like coffee shop people. Talk, come copy, you know. We say, copy, take photo, come. Get 4D and stuff like that, you know. And then some will say, oh, this guy drunk, actually this guy, you know, he's just cock eye, you know, and then all sort of nonsense. So all aspects of the story comes in, and then it forms a very nice sort of a post where it completes it in all angles. So whether it be logical or not logical, it's up to everyone's guess, you know. But the gist of it is that we have to salute the narrator for having the confidence and the sharing, the generosity of sharing to allow us to experience firsthand what they are trying to say, whether be it in proper English, in whatever way they are trying to translate or communicate with us. So I have to give in to people who are not that well versed in the language itself as well. But the meaning and thought we share, we feel, we can understand the sort of the feeling that they are trying to express to us. So we have to give them the benefit of the doubt most of the time.
That's why it's so important, right? Jim? Yeah. That's why it's so important that in the comment section, people are kind. Because if the community is not a safe place for these people to share, then they would not be so forthcoming with their sharing.
That's right.
The interesting part is that since I joined last year, I think I joined somewhere in March last year, the community has changed. The direction and flow of the narrators and the commenters has actually evolved. They have become more mature, they have changed their perspective, and then the contributions and angle of approach are different, very, very nicely different. So we get to learn more, you know. In fact, I'm learning. I love to learn. So I'm just a learner. I'm just silently sitting behind and observing. But I have to give credit to the commenters as well, because every commenter has to go through every line of the whole topic that is being narrated in order to comment. Unless, if not, they won't be commenting logically, and they have nothing much to talk about when they comment.
Yeah.
So it's actually a sort of to be fair to all, you know. And it is a very thrilling experience, a learning experience, and eye-opening experience. So I feel that your guys are actually in my life all this while since the day one. I came out, right? And opened my eye and screamed, you know. So it's I get to feel, you know, feel that, oh, yeah. Because your guys, each one of y'all gave me an aspect into how I look at life. You see? Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting. And then, like, for example, the topic that you shared earlier on tattoo. Tattoos yeah. are very interesting. Why? You look at the medical aspects or the physiological aspects. Tattoo is ink on skin. Skin is our largest organ. So it holds our spirit, you know, it holds our spirit, it holds our soul. So if you damage it or you alter it, things happen, you know, intellectually, your mind and even your thought process and you feel suddenly, if you ink a Mickey Mouse, you'll feel more timid. But if you ink a lion or a tiger or a Guan Gong or, you know, or a deity, you feel emboldened, you know.
Oh.
And then I have personally seen cases where in the military, for example, people who are they are being so emboldened, they got drunk in a pub and 1-11. 1-11 and the 11 fell.
Wow.
That's how powerful the tattoo is, you know. And he got drunk, but he got arrested and got kicked out. Dishonorable discharge, etc. Yeah. Like, all nonsense. So then there are people who have a spiritual, another topic that you're talking about the spirituality in barging, let's call it intruding into unknown exploration. If you are not mentally prepared, subconsciously you're not prepared, you're bound to get into trouble. You know, you see the trials of people going around, you know, you see all the exploration groups looking hoo-ha, shouting vulgarities, you know, and then being very intrusive. I mean, even in decent human beings, when you go around the neighborhood in the middle of night and start shouting at people, you know, and then banging at doors and stuff, that is very intrusive. So we have the day hour, we have the night hour. So in the night hour, it's their active period. So to us, we are supposed to be resting. But what are we doing? We're trying to be funny, you know? So when we're trying to be funny, things react back to us, you see? So in psychological fear, it is also based on spirituality and it's also based on your goals, what you are trying to achieve. So that's why I got upset when in the very beginning, I start commenting and saying that people are disrespectful when they do explorations and when they do stuff that tempers with the unknown. Because how well do we know ourselves, honestly speaking? You talk about fear. How do you define fear?
Jim, I've got a question for you, right, Jim? Okay, yeah, so okay. You're speaking about this concept of fear, and I know that you have been in the military before, right? Like in some maybe dangerous situations. What do you reckon is the spookiest place you've been while you've been active in the military?
Okay, one time I was attached to a Sarawakian camp in Penang.
Okay. You see, this is exactly why.
It's a tough training thing, it's a ranger thing. So middle of the night, one of this guy he got some tattoo. He's also another siao fella. He got whatever you want, he has you know. I tell you really, this guy you tell him to go and buy a bullet and you'll go. So we were resting for the night. Okay. So this clown suddenly act up in the middle of the night, you know, and he started bashing the beds, running around, and then he's apparently like sleep havoc, not sleepwalking, he's sleep havoc. He started bashing people out. Then we got to take our truncheon, you know, the wooden stick that attached to the charcoal, and we whack him, you know, he don't feel the pain.
Wow.
And then we try to hold him down, the whole bunk tried to hold him down. There was about 8 of us, we tried to hold him down. No way can we hold him down. And he ran to the field and disappeared. So the camp was huge, you know, and then we activated everybody, and then the whole night we scoured the whole place, we can't find him. Next morning we found him sleeping in the drain. So
in the long run,
it's pretty scary. It's unexplained. It's really unexplained. We don't know what happened to him. So it's very weird.
Did he say what happened?
He cannot remember. He's not drunk or anything, you know. He just got possessed in a way. So that got me asking, you know, why? Because this is the guy that tells me, if you want to jump off a plane, you have to jump out of the plane during training phase. That is the best. Why? Because you're so occupied, preoccupied with the training that you have to prepare all your apparatus, timing and stuff in order to be secure. Then you don't have much time to look out the window and ponder. But as you get more and more experience, and you, instead of a 1.5 minute of preparation, you do it in 30 seconds. Then you have about one minute to ponder and think, and look out the window, and suddenly you see, hey, what am I doing in the middle of nowhere in the sky? And then what if I don't land? What if this? What if that? And then the fear starts setting in. So he is this guy that tells me this, And then this is what happened to him that gives me the chills, because I don't understand why it has to happen to him. And
did that camp have a history of paranormal like stuff? In the military, people do talk or wait when you go to this camp, or wait, this thing will come out. Was there similar stories about this camp?
The thing about the Sarawakian camps, they recruit a lot of their locals and they are not Malay. They are more of a local Chinese style, and they are very, very tough. They are fearless. We put it this way. They are really fearless. They are almost on par with the Gukas. They don't worry. You tell them, and they are very disciplined. I tell you, really, they are. They can walk 30 click with a bottle of water.
Yeah.
And that's how they are.
What happened to him after that? Did you all manage to exercise it out?
The next day, he got up. He was unconscious with some light bruises. And that's it, And he almost jumped back to norm by midday. He just had 3 hours of sleep. And then he was rejuvenated. And then, and fortunately, it was only a one-off incident for me because it was only a one time. He didn't recur during my period there, which was about 2 months. So very interesting, very interesting.
Jim, you have been... reading a lot of comments. You have been very active in the group. You have been reading a lot of confessions, and I believe your thirst for knowledge have brought you to a lot of different sites. Even could you maybe share us another experience that, if either your own is best, if not something that you have read from somebody that you think that story stuck in your head that is so disturbing it stick with you.
Okay, in the hospital settings. Hospital settings are very, very interesting. For example, in the A&E, you don't whistle at night. And you don't tell people, hey, I'm bored and nothing happening. And that is a taboo, Some young housemen want to try it out. Say, hey, what a boring night. And the next moment, God knows, their ambulances were flooding in and got haywire, So trauma cases were bing, 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 and then we don't have rest for the next 48 hours. And then there are cases where this few sad case it's actually more of a tragedy rather than a horror. This chap was cleaning his ammo in the training shed. A round went off, his buddy fired, and it went in through his skull, and the round was found on the thigh because it spinned. So he was rushed by heli evac to the hospital. And the moment he came down, we were dragging him. There's a lot of blood on the floor. So when he reached the emergency, he's dead. So we tried to get the mom and dad to come in, and they were stunned because the son was lost just in a flip of a second, And then they were in solace in the quiet room for almost half a day. And then we were handling his body afterwards, in a sense, because we have to try to clear things. So I shared with you guys before in the comment where things like this are pretty tragic to me. And you can actually feel, his presence in the room. he's still there, you know, in the room. Even though when we go and counsel the father, mother, you know, and then we can feel that he's looking at us, staring at us in the ceiling. And then, of course, in the OTs, also weird things happening. After scrub in, and then the guy is actually, he's being opened up, you know. And then we're trying to solve the problem, but there's a delay, because there are certain things that we didn't expect to happen. Back then, the scanning wasn't that effective, wasn't that compact. So there are boo-boos, and then when we realize, hey, how there are excess tumors and stuff, and then we can feel that the guy is actually conscious standing beside me, you know. But being in this area, we can't go and exhibit it out. Okay, let's put it this way. When you can't sit down in the consult room and then you see a lady walk in and say, can you ask your parents to go and wait? And the lady said, no, I came alone. You know? And then how would you feel if I were to tell you that? You know? So you don't scare people, you know. Or when we are doing a sort of a consult and then this old lady was sitting there and then her deceased husband followed her in, you know. And then, what are we to say, you know? What are we to say? We can't say anything, you know. We can't say, can you ask your husband? And they say, he passed on 10 years ago. So these are things that we encounter, you know, that we can't explain. We can't explain it. The only thing I can explain is an energy field, because it's an area of sadness, it's an area of people who are unwell, who are on the low esteem of things, and then they experience all this. So it becomes very interesting, you know. Our norm already, you know. So if you were to tell me to explain it, I can't, because there's simply no logic to this, you know. But I can't be pointing finger at whoever who say, hey, I have third eye, whatever, I have psychic, I have this and that. And then there is no justification, you see. So I've gone through researchers, I've looked through papers, I've seen statistics on even up to present day, spiritualists, exorcists, even by the Vatican, even by the Tangis, by whoever, you know, they cannot definitely tell me how is this thing presence and where it originate and where it dissipated to. So
no
they only can
only more questions.
No answer. They can only propose, and then it's only how we accept it, you know. It's more acceptance. So take it or leave it out thing, you know. But thing is, we have to give respect. That's finally. Yeah. Because if you don't give respect, things happen to you, you know. Whether be ghost, demon, god, deity, or man, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same.
You know, Jim, I want to give you the opportunity because you have been voted number one by the community to come up here. And finally, you have appeared. It seems that on the comment section, you have a lot of fans who want to show you for coffee to see you someday.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to vote somebody else that you have read that, you know, that you think deserves the time that we could provide to the person to come up here and share his or her story next week or the coming weeks. Who would you, if you had one name to throw out here, who would you call up next?
I find Sophia. Sophia is quite good. Then I find because there's some transition to the people, but Sophia gave me a good indication and very sort of a very detailed. Because in terms of narration, I'm looking at narration, okay? A narration proper will have a proper start and beginning, a good body, and a good conclusion. So they sort of form up a full body, you know, a detailed explanation. Not like, I saw this shadow yesterday. Suddenly, I don't know what happened. Then I was walking. Then I smell smoke, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so it doesn't give me a detail. So it's not as complete to me, you know.
Right. So Sophia, if you're listening in, G Tim thinks you have a nice full body and a very interesting profession. That's how rumors start, right, Jim? We will try to get Sophia in. Yeah, no. I spoke to Sophia before. In fact, what happened is she cannot do Friday night because she has shift. She works on Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're trying to get her in. We try to get her in. Anyway, and then, we're almost coming to the end of the night. It's 11:25 now.
Sorry. Okay. Thanks again for everyone, you know, letting me have a chance to speak, you know, and then get my voice presence on the show.
Yeah.
But
you're such a happy person. That's a great vibe.
I'm okay because happy-go-lucky, you know. Happy-go-lucky. No grumbles, you know. Because in the sense that, you know, if you are, okay, sad, also a day. Happy, also a day. You know, it's
right.
Jim, I'm going to tell you something that will make you very happy. I don't need you to reveal your age, but I'm going to tell you what people think. They think you are 38.
Ah, okay. They are so magnanimous. I'm 60-ish, okay? I'm 60-ish. So that's the plus point of being happy, lah.
So you really are the uncle sitting in the in the coffee shop, one leg up on the thing, like
uncle, the lady that pretty, you know, and then all this stuff. She was hostess, you know, I went massage last week. Oh, poor thing.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.
See you comment on the group chat again. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Nice chatting you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You guys remember? You guys remember Iman and Risa, who came on a few weeks ago as well?
Yeah.
She appeared on Friday because he took leave. That's the amount of dedication our community has, guys.
Wow. Nice. Okay, guys, you see, I mean it, right? When I say Uncle Jim feels like the fun uncle that you want to meet at all the family reunion or dinner gathering, right? Then you're like, hey, where's the fun uncle? Where's the uncle? You know, I just want to sit down and then he'll tell you non-stop stories, you know, whatever he encountered, whatever he have heard of, whatever he read, he'll tell you all sorts of stories. Then you just sit there and then like, 3 a.m. already. your father. Don't want to sleep. Sleep with your uncle. So thank you very much again to our brother Jim. It's nice to have our guest once again, right? Yeah. Okay. So again, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end. But before we go to the end, we have a few things to do, right? So Eugene, your segment.
Yeah. Want to we have very, very hardworking moderators working behind the scene. And tomorrow, and in about maybe half an hour's time, is Kara's birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, guys, host, can each of us do one line of the happy birthday song? Because we all can't sing together. The syncing of this audio was not going to work well. So let's do one line each. Me, Kim, Sonia, and then end of JDC. How about that? Are we ready?
Yes. So who's going to start first? Who's going to go second line?
You
then?
You second line, then Sonia third.
Sonia
then audio is off.
Oh, Sonia audio is off.
Convenient. So convenient.
Just resetting. Okay.
So then you start, then I go, then Joe go, and then if Sonia is back, then Sonia's going to go last.
All right. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Kara.
Sonia.
Am I doing the last line?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Kara. Awesome moderation work. And now.
Happy birthday.
Good to have Sonia back because we need a voice for the Daily Oracle.
Oh, you.
Why are you? You don't want the universe?
Why are you, Joe?
I don't know. Each time you see it, like, close your eyes, touch your chest.
Nobody's asking you to touch your chest like that. It's a different show. Different show, Joe. Now, everyone, close your eyes.
I will.
Put your hand on where your heart is. Okay? I'm being super specific for you. Put your hand on your heart and put forth that question to the universe. Think about it. Ask that question.
The universe has a message for all of you. The universe is telling you, self-love is an inside job. Start there. If you are feeling that weight of the world is on your shoulders and everything is going wrong, perhaps you should look inside. Do you love yourself? If there's no you, there's nothing else out there. So love yourself first before anyone else can love you, before you can enjoy anything or you can be happy like Jim Cole. Starts from inside. Hopefully this advice is all, it's important. It comes at the right time for many of you.
Oh my God. It's what I always say.
I know.
I like it how Uncle Jim or Brother Jim say, sad also one day, happy also one day. Why not be happy?
Wow. That's
That is Uncle Jim's ending one-liner.
Yeah, one-liner. ending line. This one. Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We have come to 11:30, whereby now everybody will go to the YouTube, whereby we have a confession waiting for you.
Hang on. Did Joe tell us who gave us coffees today?
Oh, not yet.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Enough, I had just brought the page. So big thanks to Ryan, Vicky, Vanessa, Elaine, and Akida.
Wow.
Thank you so much for your contributions. No, I can read here is Sonia, harden up and drink normal coffee like the rest of us. Yeah, that's what it says.
Thank you so much for all your contribution. We are very, very grateful. We will be back here again next Friday. Also, if you're very interested in horror movies, Jonathan and I host the Ghost Mortem. Actually, Jonathan was on the comment section just now. We said hi. Every Tuesday, 10 p.m. on Supernatural Confessions is Ghost Mortem. We dissect horror movies. Mm. Wednesday, we have Bill and Matt on The Fringe. I believe next week they're going to be talking about UFO.
Mm.
And of course, Friday, we will be here to accompany you for a Friday date night. Good night, everyone. And over to you, JDC.
Again, thanks to everyone for sharing their time with us. I will promise that I'll get Discord figured out one of these days. But until then, there are always more questions. There are answers.
Yes. I've been given a new hashtag. It's where in the world is Sonia? Well, I'm not in Sembawang clearly, but I am still here in Singapore, dialing in from God knows where. Thank you for spending the time with us. I'm super rational. God, I almost said super.
Jeez.
Super rational. I usually have irrational explanation. Post everything.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kim signing off with whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.
Ladies and gentlemen, all your experiences, I believe in you and you are not alone. So good night, everybody. And head straight to YouTube right now to see G's confession. It's about 20 minutes long and it's solid one. Good night.
Ciao. Oh.
What did you find? You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.